What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 385. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, any purchases you make will help us out. We get a little kickback from that. Doesn't cost you anything. Helps us keep the show going and the site going and all that good stuff. So we appreciate it. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, well, you know, it's that time of year when we set the clocks.
We fell back
and the sun sets at 5 p.m. and it's
horrible. Yeah.
It just, you feel so tired,
but know? I adjust so much better to this than the spring forward, I think.
Okay.
Losing an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that my thing is that like, there's some days where I don't leave the house. Like I'm just working all day. And the only time that I go outside is in the morning. You know, like for the gym. So let's take, so now it's like light out. Like before, it would be dark out when I would go to the gym in the morning. So now I do get to see some light if I don't leave the house, but it's all gone. By the end of the day, I'm done working. It's all gone now. So
it's like you're a weird conundrum because it's like you live in this beautiful area with awesome weather. And you're like, if I do leave the house and see the outdoors.
That time of year, there's this meme I'm going to post on the Think Computers thing about being like, If you're a tech creator this time of year, you're kind of burnt out because all products, everything for holiday season. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up on this site too. Mm-hmm. Some big giveaways. We're gonna do a big giveaway. We're gonna give away a graphics card for the holidays.
You so got that's my address.
Yeah, it's a 40 series graphics card we'll be giving away. So
cool.
We'll be doing that in December. So we'll probably like December. It will go through Christmas, and then you'll get it after Christmas or whatever. So that's kind of like, we just have so much stuff going on, man. That's not the only giveaway. We're gonna have giveaways pretty much till the end of the year going into next year, because as I said last week, I am getting rid of things. I'm cleaning house. I started to clean out my storage unit that's full of PC cases.
Yeah,
I didn't think I had that much in there, and then I started cleaning it out the other day and I have a lot in there. So lots of
good
stuff
luck to but you.
Yeah, busy time of year, lots going on, just lots of cool products and lots of really good deals coming too. Of course, we have Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and then all the holiday deals. And I think this year, from what I've seen, and was a couple of companies have like sent us their deals early, you will see some really good deals. I don't think last year, I think a lot of companies like really were playing it safe last year. I think we talked about it, like Black Friday wasn't all that great, and this year we'll have some really good deals. So, lots of stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of stores like online and stuff have been like Black Friday now, like all these early deals, and it's crazy.
Yeah, so lots of cool stuff going on. We have Old Man in the chat. Was he here last week? I don't remember if he was in the chat last week.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, he just said I missed last week. I'm not even reading. Yeah. I'm just pulling up the chat.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, somebody said something.
Yeah. But yeah, good to see you in the live chat. If you are in the live chat, definitely drop in and say hi. We always like to hear from you guys. And of course, if you have questions or want to comment, throw it in there. I say this every week, but I try to look at the chat, but sometimes I miss it. I need like a little, I have a little monitor.
I mean, it's right here next to our, like literally next to our live view.
Yeah,
it's right there.
Yeah. Just give me an excuse to get another 49-inch monitor.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, for that. So. But yeah, guys, we have a lot of cool stuff this week. If you do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And you can follow along. Of course, if you hear something on this week's show and you're like, what were they talking about? You can see everything that we're talking about right here with links to relevant articles and all of that kind of stuff. So it is all right there. We'll start out with Ryan, and you took a look at a different case. So most cases that we take a look at on the site are like, you know, just a normal build, gaming theme cases, things like that. But you were doing, you're going to be doing you did because you built the case, but you needed to move a system to a case that had storage. And at least, I mean, I don't look in that space that much, but there's only like a handful of companies that offer like cases like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that offer multiple cases, like Silverstone is one of them, and that's the case we reviewed. But yes, there's not a ton of, like, Corsair is not going to make, like, a server or NAS type case, really, right? One of them, the companies that makes one that a lot of times works well and people choose is, like, the Fractal series, because they have all those drive trays you can add, right? The R7 or something, right? Yeah, so I took a look at the Silverstone CS382, and they bill that as like a small server slash NAS case. And someone left a comment on our YouTube short about it. They're like, this is not a small NAS. And I was like, okay, you're not wrong. It's like, it's a large NAS, if anything. It's a mini server case, but it can function as a NAS because one of the main features of this is it has 8 drive bays that are accessible from the front. And those are all hot swappable via drive trays and backplanes. Nice. Which we'll get into here in a minute. But I've been looking to retire some older systems. You know, they're like outdated and weren't, one of them was like running home server or storage server 2012, I think is what the version was. Yeah. And it's like not supported anymore or getting close to that. So I was like, I need to, you know, find a way off of those systems. I'd love to consolidate them into one system, so it's not multiple that I've got to, you know, manage. I had this 3800X sitting around that I had upgraded from last year, which is a more than capable processor, you know, 8 core, 16 thread. Yeah. So I bought a motherboard, had just about everything else except for a case decided upon. And Silverstone helped us out with providing a case to take a look at for this build, as well as the power supply for this. So big shout out to Silverstone for the review samples and shipping that stuff over. Yeah, one of the funny things, though, is, you know, this isn't a gaming type case. So the box it came in is very nondescript. It doesn't even say like the model. It's just case storage series in a brown box. And you're like, all right, that's fine. You know, it's pretty niche product. So it's not one that you're typically probably going to see sitting on a retail shelf at like a, I was about to say Fry's, but I don't think they're around anymore, a Micro Center or something like that, right? You're going to be ordering this probably online in most cases. So the box doesn't really need to have like fancy retail packaging. And it comes with a pretty basic accessories kit, right? There's no GPU holder in here. There's some just your standard screws and, you know, a couple, you know, bracket pieces. But other than that, it's bare bones. It's got a key for the front door that opens up, but that's about it. But moving on to the case, I love the look of the front of this too. I wish it was a little sturdier than the plastic that it is. It's a plastic front, and it's not that it's not secure, but I think it would have been amazing if this was like a billet aluminum or some like really nice
front. That brings the price up.
Price, right? Exactly. But either way, it looks nice. It's got a lot of ventilation there. It's not like venting on the sides where that air has to come in through the sides and then turn and go through some fans. It's just straight through. However, there is an air filter behind the door, which you can see in this image here. It's all just a full fine mesh filter. The bad thing is it's not a removable filter. That filter material, mesh material, is like melted / glued onto the plastic of the case. So if you want to clean it, you have to take the door off, which is easy. It's got a little, you know, spring-loaded hinge up here that you can take the door off, but it's not like a filter that you can just take the filter out and go rinse it off in the sink and dry it off and put it back on. So it's a little more difficult. That's kind of a downside to it. Not major, but just like kind of an inconvenience, especially on a system that's going to be running 24/7 in most cases, and possibly in like, you know, it's not sitting on your desk where there's hopefully a cleaner environment, right? It could be shoved away in some server room or some other environment where that does get dirty. That just makes cleaning it harder. Anyhow, up front, there's a ton of stuff behind this front door. So up at the top, some of you younger folks may not recognize this 5 1/4 inch bay, but there is one available at the top here if you've got some sort of optical storage or other device that takes up a 5 1/4 inch bay. A little opening here just for some passive airflow, and then those aforementioned 8 drive bays. These trays are just plastic. They're just slide in and out. There's no like locking or hinged handles here. It's again a more affordable type of solution on these drives. But each tray does have LED lighting via the PCB behind them, so that's kind of cool. Each drive has its own indicator status lights, is nice. Got your standard power and reset buttons, 3.5 millimeter audio jack. We do have USB 3.2 by 2, right, for 10 gig speeds, and then two just USB,
USB 3.2 Gen
3.2 Gen 2. Yeah.
Not by
Gen 2. I'm sorry, not by 2. Just Gen 2. Yes. So 10 gig speed on this Type-C connection. And then there's also another option to put in a slim optical drive here. So for whatever reason, they were all about giving us access to that. That's
awesome. I like that, actually.
It gives us some versatility, right? But this is a smaller case still. It supports up to micro ATX cases or motherboards. So it'll obviously fit like a mini ITX. But micro ATX is the maximum that this will support. Again, there's those drive trays. They're pretty nice looking, though. I mean, they're sturdy plastic.
Yeah. When you said they're plastic, when I first
looked at the pictures, almost looks like it's a nice metal piece, but yeah, it's plastic.
Okay.
Yep. And yeah, they're pretty basic. They're toolless, which is nice. They have little
unless plastic you're installing
pieces on the sides.
A 3.5.
Correct.
Two and a half.
Correct. Yeah. If you're using a SSD here, you're going to have to use these four screws to screw holes to screw the drive in. But if you're using 3.5-inch drives, they just have these little side pieces that clip in super easy. There's those ports we mentioned. This is also a like inverted, reversed layout. So the left side of the case is actually plain. There's nothing, you know, no window. You're not going to get a window on this case anyways. It's not meant for that. But on the right-hand side of the case, we do have some passive ventilation here to allow for some airflow for like if you put a GPU in here to utilize a GPU or other things. Or just for some airflow for those top-mounted fan options. You've got that option there. As you can see on the back, though, we do have that inverted layout with the expansion slots up at the top. Single 120-millimeter fan available in the back, and it will fit a standard ATX power supply as well. Up top, it has support for 120 and 100-millimeter fans or radiators up to 280 millimeters. And the pretty standard bottom with a filter and some feet. So yeah, once we get inside, you can see that drive cage here. And let's take a look at, here's the inside of the drive cage itself. So you've got support for both SATA and SAS drives with this, which is nice. So if you have some more enterprise style drives that maybe, you know, support, faster RPMs or, throughput, you can utilize those in this case as well, which is nice. And then you can see the 92 millimeter fan behind the drive cages, which is kind of blocked off, almost half of it, unfortunately. So you're not getting as much airflow between those drives as I would have liked to see. If there was some way they could have like cut out on this PCB or put some holes in it or something, to give a little more airflow through there. Right. But each set of four drives has its own fan. As you can see here, we've got two fans here, has the SATA connectivity, and there's also for power, we have either SATA or Molex 4-pin. So whichever your power supply utilizes, you can use either one, for that. I will say though, that these fans are loud, because they get their power from this PCB, they're just running at 100% 12 volt power and they are loud. The nice thing about them though, is you could disconnect them from this PCB in the drive cage and like connect them to your motherboard or a fan controller and have them spin down a little bit so they're not as loud. You do want air flowing across those drives. You've got eight drives there, you know, that are probably on all the time generating some heat, so you don't want it to go real slow and lose all your airflow, but it is something to think about or consider if noise is a problem for you. You do have that option. Support for another 3.5-inch drive underneath that tray. It's not hot swap or anything. It's just another spot they were able to throw in a slot to install drives. And then on the back side, we've got room for two 2.5-inch SSDs here and some cable routing with some grommets here and there. There is no cable routing at the top, though, so you need to keep that in mind when you are doing your build. And another thing to mention is the motherboard is actually going to go out to like the edge here, and you can't access all of the cable management or screw holes for your motherboard. So you actually remove the drive cage for installation, which is a little different than, you know, your standard build. So as you can see here, I've pulled that drive cage out. It slides out the front.
Yeah, it comes out the
front. Yeah, there's like five screws you have to take out. It just slides out from the front. And with it out of the way, you can see here we've got more room for cable management. You know, you've got access then to your 24-pin motherboard, you know, and any other side mounted connections you need to make there. So with it out of the way, there's tons of room to work in this case to install. No problems there. And then once I was done, you just slide that thing back in and make your connections. I put 220 millimeter fans up at the top for some extra airflow. But here's one thing I did want to mention. Like, it's kind of tight in there. This is, like I said, a smaller case, and my SATA cables, thankfully, you know, were able to make this turn, but this power supply shroud definitely gets pretty close to the drive cage. So just something to be aware of in a build here if you're worried about space. There's another view of it there. And again, so the fan was blocked off on the front, but you're also obstructing some of that airflow behind it as well with the you know, SATA power cable and SATA cables themselves. So not that I'm worried about like the drives getting hot or anything from my use of it. They're not getting warm. It's just, I think airflow could have been a little better, and it's super loud. But I also populated all three of the PCI slots on this build. And as you can see here, it does get kind of close at the top there with that controller card next to the fans, but there is room for multiple cards as well in your build. There's just a quick look at everything populated. I think it turned out pretty nice. Like, for as many cables are in this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks SATA clean. Drives in there. The cabling, I utilized the Velcro that comes on the drive cage, and then just ran the extra cabling up into that 5.5 inch or 5.25 inch drive bay. So there's a little extra SATA cabling up here, but really it's like pretty clean.
Yeah, it's really clean. For, I mean, mine would be like a mess because I mean
there's three cards in here, right? 8 SATA cables, there's a power, but some of it's kind of hit, you know, that 24 pins hidden behind here. My motherboard power is hidden back, you know, here,
yeah,
which is kind of nice.
Nice.
So yeah, just my, you know, my final thoughts on it are it's pretty awesome. Especially for my use case, right? I've got a lot of what I call my slow storage on those 8 6-terabyte drives that I put in there. So I've got that storage. And then if you couldn't tell, I had 2 M.2 NVMe drives that I've put in there. I'm actually getting ready to upgrade those to larger drives. So I've got my slow, what I call my slow storage, you know, on those larger drives, then my faster storage here, because I'm utilizing this as a virtual host. So it's running VMware's vSphere hypervisor on it. And I have multiple servers then running inside of this as virtual machines. So
nice.
Couple tiers of storage, right? Fast and slower speed there. So
yeah, I'm really surprised at how well it came out.
Yeah, no, I was super happy with this. I was looking at a different case, a little smaller case, and it had 5 hot swap bays in the front, which capacity wise would have been fine for me, right? 8's fine as well, but the 5 that I was going to use would have been fine. But I just like the extra space in this. It would have been a little tight on the other one, I think. It would have been doable, but it would have been a lot trickier with all the components in there. My only like downsides to this case are those loud 92 millimeter fans. They're just spinning 100% and they're loud. I've got it in another like storage room off to the side here, so I don't really hear it. If I take my headphones off and everything's quiet in here, I can hear the fans in there, but it's not really loud, but it's because there's a door and a wall in there. And then with 8 drives in there, once they get spun up and are spinning, it can kind of get that like vibration hum going. That's every now I and then
all NVMe, man.
I would love this to be a full solid state build, maybe someday.
I remember it would be like you know, you're trying to work and you just hear it, like you hear the drive spin up. Yeah, so many cases are like that. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's something that unless you're getting like a quote unquote like quiet case that has all the dampeners there,
right,
you're gonna hear it. And with 8 3.25 or 3.5 inch drives, I mean, you know, you're gonna hear it.
It's kind of crazy. So yeah, you can kind of like, you know, like try and flex it a little bit and it'll stop. And I know that it's the combination of the drives and the fans that does it, because when you first boot it up, it's quiet.
Yeah.
And then those drives start kicking on. That's when the vibration comes. But it is a little bit on the high side as far as price goes. It's got an MSRP of $229.99. But it's a niche type of product, right? It's for a certain market that has certain needs. And therefore, you're usually
and you have to keep in mind, it's not like those are just 8 drive bays. They're one, they're hot swappable. They have the backplane built in. You know, you got the fans.
They support SATA and SAS drives.
So like that adds to the cost as well. But I mean, for how much storage you could potentially put in that, even how much storage that you put in it, I mean, it turned out really.
I mean, those drives, you know, drives are big now. Like I haven't looked in a while, but like 18 terabyte drives, you know, you could slam those in here and just like, it's crazy.
Nice.
Old man says it's a clean build, especially for how many drives. I agree. And then he said the NVMe is still cost prohibitive with larger drives. I am looking like at replacing both of those NVMe drives, and I was looking at 2 terabyte drives today. There was a Crucial drive, and I think it was like $89 for a 2 terabyte, and then I was like, maybe I should just go with the 4 terabyte, and it's a Gen 4 drive.
Moving parts.
No moving parts, but then I got to figure out heat sinks for them and all of that. So since they're Gen 4. So they, for larger drives, bigger than like 4 terabytes, yes, absolutely. They do get expensive quick. But for my needs right now, I don't need that much capacity at that type of speed.
Yeah.
Awesome. But yeah, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Super happy with the case.
Well, definitely, if you guys are interested, check that out. And Silverstone has like a bunch of like pretty niche cases for specific things, whether it's storage like this or like home theater PC stuff. They've always had some really cool, interesting cases that are not like your typical gaming case. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Now, the product that I reviewed, I don't know where I put it. Well, I guess I'm not going to show you guys on camera. I did have it, but I guess I'll just talk to you guys about it. And I linked your review to it. That's cool. In the notes. Alrighty. So I took a look at a pretty, again, this is a semi-niche product, but definitely helps out with workflow and like backing things up. So this is the PNY Duo Link, which is a USB 3.2 flash drive. But instead of just being like a normal flash drive, on the end, you have a lightning connector. So it kind of folds out. And on one side, you have USB-A. On the other side, you have lightning, which can be used for iPhone and iPad, unless you have the newest iPhone. And you can see the lightning connector right there. And the reason that this is incredibly helpful and useful is that, you know, iPhones and Apple devices, iPad, they are locked on storage. They don't have removable storage like an SD card that you can throw more storage on there or anything like that. Also, if you're on PC and you're trying to offload things, the file system, if you like, you know, plug your iPhone into your PC, there's just like a million folders and it's not fun to like, oh, I need to find that one image or whatever. And a lot of times, even now, I still like, if I make, you know, like have a video, I'll upload it to Dropbox and then it'll be on my like all these workarounds, right?
Yep.
Well,
yep.
This kind of solves that problem because it gives you more storage, right? So you can get this up to, I believe, 256 gigabytes. This is the 128 that we reviewed. So you have a lot more storage, and that can even be for like having, you know, movies or things like that, if you want to like watch them on the plane or whatever, you know. So you can go ahead and do that. But there's an app that they have called the Duo Link 4, which as soon as you plug it into your phone or your iPad, it will ask you if you want to download it. And when you download it, you kind of open it up here and it shows you how much space you have on the flash drive and how much space you have on your iPhone. It does have a built-in camera, but it's kind of if you take pictures with the built-in camera, it saves directly to the flash drive, which is nice. But it, again, like all applications on the iPhone, Apple has locked down the camera, so you don't get all the features you would of like using the normal camera. So that's kind of a bummer. But then like there's file management, you can transfer media and you can backup. File management just gives you a list of all the files that are on the drive, as well as you can, you know, look on your iPhone. And then transfer media, this is really nice because if you go into any of these, it just shows you like the videos and the photos that are on your device, and then you can just select them and transfer them. Whereas again, if you plug your phone into your PC. It's just folders.
You gotta hunt around, yeah.
And there's like a ton of folders. It's not just like photos, video. There's a ton of folders, and since I've had an iPhone, I've been backing it up on a PC, and it's just not fun. It's not a fun process. So that makes it really easy. Also, you can back up your phone. Like, you can back the entire phone up, or you can just back up your contacts, which is really nice too. You know, you get a new phone, you don't want to like bring everything over, but you just want to bring your contacts over to the new phone. You can do that with this. So it works pretty well. Transferring works pretty well. The only issue that I had with the application is that it's not necessarily that intuitive. So say in this section here, if I click on one of these images, or if there's movies or whatever, if I click on them, it just opens it up, and if it's a video, it would just play it. Mm-hmm. And in that window, it doesn't give me the option to just transfer it over. You have to go up here and select multi-select and then select your files. It's just not all that intuitive. And
you
then
do like a long press?
No, no, it doesn't. No. I've tried that. I tried to swipe left and right. It's not all that intuitive. On top of that, when I transfer media, if I click on video, it shows all my videos. But if I click on photo, the app just crashes. Ooh. I don't know why. I have a decent amount of photos on my phone, but I mean,
that's what this is built for.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you can just go into file management, and then you can go into the photos folder on your iPhone. So it's not, you can still transfer photos over. It's not like you can't do it, but you have to do it through file management, not through this transfer media section. So that was a bit weird. That's the only real issue that I ran into. This is a USB 3.2 drive. And again, USB 3.2 is just USB 3.0. They've renamed it. Don't know why. We've gone over this a million times in the podcast, but it's just a USB 3.0 drive. So here's the speeds when you connect it to a PC. About 72 megabytes a second. So again, not the fastest drive out there either. But it does its job, and I really like it for if just like last year at CES, we used the iPhone a lot to get videos and things like that. For transferring files off, this would be much easier than connecting it to a PC. And again, if you're an iPad or iPhone user and you just want to add more storage to the device, this is one way to definitely do it. And the drive's built really well. Like, it's all metal. The entire thing's all metal. I really liked it. It's $37.79 for the 128 gigabyte version. My only issue really is with the app. If the app was better, I would have liked it a lot better. This happens a lot of times, not even with like iOS stuff, but just like products that have apps. When the app's not good, it just ruins the rest of the product. We've seen that with like keyboards, mice, all kind of headsets, everything. If the app, you know, that supposed to work with it doesn't work all that well, it just ruins the whole experience. So maybe they'll update the app, and you know, that's a good thing, is that that's something that they can change, so they can, you know, update that app. But I gave it an 8 out of 10. If you are a, you know, iPad, iPhone user, you can definitely use this. But they do have one that has a Type-C as well. So if you have a newer iPhone, if you're on an Android phone, they have one that's Type-C, again, to add storage to those devices as well. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Also, we'll move on to KSMOD Friday. And this week we have a really cool build. And this is a workstation build that somebody did. And it's in a custom case here, which I think it looks awesome.
It reminds me of some of the InWin cases that have that mono aluminum frame and just some of the lines. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a really cool workstation build in this kind of custom case that has like, I guess this is like aluminum with like the blue aluminum, which is like an accent, which I think looks really cool.
I didn't even realize that that was blue. I thought it was just some lighting, but yeah, no, that's blue. Yep.
Yeah. So there's no lighting in the front. Like, when we go to look at the front like when I initially thought this was like a res with like liquid in it, but it's just the
blue.
It's just the blue, which I think looks really good. You know, and this is like EK water cooling here with the frosted tubing, which I think looks great. And yeah, it's just like a simple build that makes sense. You have a little screen down here, and it looks really well. The colors match really good. You can see they have this like sort of silver cabling here for the graphics cards. Yeah, it's just like a pretty simple build, but I like it, you know. And this is really like cool too.
That's cool.
So they have a built-in kind of cable hiding little thing back here as well, which I think is super, super cool too. Now, I don't know if this case, like this is a custom made case, obviously, but I don't know if it's designed to just be open like this, or if there's some type of side panel that goes on here.
I'm guessing open, because I don't see any.
Yeah, I don't see any type of
window to attach.
Yeah, for a window, and I think it looks great. Even I mean, without a window, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
So this one is done by. I'm not going to try to say his name, but we have a link to his Facebook on there. But yeah, really cool build. I would like something like this, to be honest. Super easy to clean out. You just you know, get the duster in tall. There.
Yeah,
it's just like really, yeah, I like that. And you have I didn't really realize the radiator up here. This almost looks like it would be like an AIO up here. You know what I mean? Just like sort of, the size of it and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, check that one out for Case Mod Friday. And I did mention at the beginning of the show, but we are going to be having some new contests. So stay tuned either or the next, by the weekend, we'll announce another contest. So definitely, stay tuned for that, because our one for the Kingston portable SSD that just ended. So we'll have another one coming up here very soon. Now we'll move on to news. And we've been talking about the RTX 40 Super Series. Of course, this is going to be the refresh for NVIDIA. And it looks like CES will be there in January. It's coming up. It's getting real close.
Flight is booked. Yep. We're getting close.
Yeah, getting close to Vegas time, CES. I'm excited. But at least we'll have some graphics card stuff to talk about at the show if these are launching or going to be there. It's not clear if it's just going to be like an announcement with a launch later. Do you think they're going to launch them all at the same time? Like, so if we have supers, they're just all going to launch at the same time? Or do you think they'll segment them out? I don't know.
Have we seen like that wide? If they did all of them, have we seen that from a CES? Not in quite a while. Like, I always feel like it's just like a single.
Yeah, because like, typically,
they've already they come out in the fall, right? And they're like, you get those first two or three, and then it's CES, and there's like maybe the fourth card.
The thing is, the refresh is typically the TIs, right? Sure. And typically, it's a big deal because the TI is like, so last better, generation, the 3090 TI was like it's the best card money could buy, like in the gaming segment, right? We're not going to get a 4090 Super or TI.
Sure.
So maybe there's not as much excitement. So you could just see down the line, we just get all Supers and that's the refresh. And then if you're building a new system from, you know, 2024.
What was the card that was being announced at CES last year? It was like the 4070. Was it just the 4070 or is it the 4070 Ti where we had the lineup and I took the wonderful pictures with my
I think it was phone, the 4070. I don't remember.
It just seems like that was one card and we saw a bunch of them at NVIDIA and other, you know,
booths.
So to have more than like one card just seems like so much to come from NVIDIA at the show.
Yeah.
That would be a lot to cover and go over. And
I mean, it's refresh. So it's not like you're getting, it's not a new.
That's true.
You like, just like with the CPU refreshes, I mean, you're getting, okay, we're bumping up the speeds. We talked about some of the rumors with maybe that 4080 Super will get more memory,
right?
More VRAM, you know, it's not something that's going to be incredibly groundbreaking because, again, we don't have that high-end SKU. You're not getting the 49. From all accounts, everything that we've heard, we're not getting a card that's higher performing than an RTX 4090. There's no 4090 refresh coming, at least from everything that we've heard. So yeah, that's, you know, that's what's going to supposedly launch at CES. It'll be cool because we'll get to see them in person. You know what I mean? Yep. And, but it's all more of the same, you know? Nelson in the chat said, when will the super GPU come out? Will the prices of the regular,
he's asking if they'll go down.
Oh, they'll come down. Yeah, typically not by a ton, but usually the super will
have a little price premium.
Yeah, a little bit of a price premium because you're getting a little bit more performance. But sometimes, and again, they might launch the super at the price that, like, say there's the 4080 super will launch at the same price as the 4080. And then now the 4080 will drop down in price too. You could see that.
I just doubt it.
Yeah, this is all speculation. But from all the leaks that we've been seeing and things that we've been seeing about the Super Series, it kind of makes sense that it will launch at CES. That's kind of the place you'd want to launch it. It's way too, like, Computex is way too far out. GPU Technology Conference is in March, which could have been
spring.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm excited that at least we'll hopefully get to see them in person. And maybe, yeah, again, it's a refresh. We'll see. Yeah, so we'll see. But more of like, we think this is going to be the date. The packaging, official packaging, has got leaked. And it's for the 4070 Ti Super. So we're going to get a Ti Super. Aren't you super excited for the Ti Super? Sure. But I mean, this is just what the packaging is going to look like. So if you are at the store, it's going to say super, obviously. And then the super is going to be silver on the front of the card. And then on the side, it's going to say super really big. So, you know, but leaks like this, again, make us kind of think that we will see these officially at CES in January. So yeah. Do you remember we talked about that supposed RTX 4090 Ti that had the big quad slot bracket? People were saying it was blah, blah, blah.
It's a cinder block.
Yeah, that massive.
Huge.
Yeah, huge thing. Well, it looks like somebody's selling the backplate for it. I don't know why. But you can buy the backplate on eBay. Of course, you know, that's okay. The backplate. And this is the card that it was on that actually had the matching connectors, you know?
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing this.
But this is what it would look like if you put it on the card that doesn't have the connectors. So, yeah, but you can buy it for $24.80 if you really wanted to. You can buy it. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So you can pick that up.
Someone found them like in a dumpster. They're like, oh, we're not doing this anymore. Get rid of the ones we already made. And someone scooped them up and they're like, yeah.
It is kind of interesting that there's no higher end card. Because again, with the refresh, you'd be like, oh, there's a Ti.
Maybe we'll get
there's a higher one. You know what I mean?
We'll be surprised.
Only M in the chat said, is it worth to wait to get a GPU right now? Well, I mean, if the supers aren't getting launched till at least January, I mean, that's like all holiday season that you're kind of not having a newer GPU. So that's a lot of gaming time, I'd say, because holiday season, you know, you have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas, you have all these holidays where you potentially are not working, where you would want a better GPU. And the supers are just going to be a refresh. So you're not getting a new architecture or anything like that. And the speed gains aren't going to be like crazy. So if you're buying or building a new PC or looking to upgrade from a graphics card, you can easily do it now. I would say, if anything, wait till Black Friday. We could see some GPU deals on Black Friday. I think that's where you would want to buy that. You know, if you're waiting, that's we're close enough to Black Friday that I think it's worth waiting. But beyond that, you know, you're waiting until at least January, if not later. So we have Corey in the chat. Good to see you, Corey. I hope Pittsburgh's not getting too cold.
Got ProTech as well.
ProTech, he said, at this point, they're flogging a dead horse to try to get a buck. Yeah, I mean,
but like we've said, like they are beholden to shareholders and things like that. They've got to continue making a profit.
Well, the thing is,
product. So
we talked about this a couple of weeks in the podcast as how like every year with not even with like GPUs, CPUs, but like even tech, you know, my like iPhone phones. It's like every year you have to have a new model so you make some sales, and that's kind of how this is with GPUs. And you're gonna see a refresh. It's just. It's bound to happen. They kind of need to fill that little void in there. So we will see supers more than likely, like I said, at least an announcement at CES. And then, you know, going forward, we could see them launch at CES. You could see them a staggered launch with like the highest SKU, which would be that 4080 Super, then 4070 Ti Super, then 4070 Super, then 4060. Wonder if we'll see a 4060 Ti 16 gig Super.
Oh my gosh. Like, that'd be like, we complained enough about the regular Ti. Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens from there. Also, talking about graphics cards, Galax announced their 20th anniversary edition RTX 4090, which is like a beast of a card. We saw some leaks of it. I think it was last week or the week before. I mean, look at that PCB, man.
It's enormous.
Look at all the power. Oh man, it's awesome. But this card is something interesting, and it's so not needed, and they just put it on the card just to do it, I guess. Is that it has the HDMI remitter chip. Basically, you find that on like consoles and other devices that allow longer HDMI. So, you know, with our PCs, it's my, you know, my PC's here, my monitor's right here. With a remitter, you could have a very long HDMI cable and not lose signal quality. They put it on here. You can see it. It's right here, right by that HDMI connection. Is it needed? Don't really think so.
Yeah, like, what?
But this card's really cool. This card
is so awesome.
Yeah, it's such a big card and looks really, really awesome. And of course, it's like that all-white PCB. One day I'll get an all-white PCB graphics card. Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, pretty cool to see that. I mean, you know, I don't think that this will be something that you'll see kind of come down the line and be put on other graphics cards.
Right, there's like at least not on like a gaming style card. I can see this being useful in an industrial type card where you've got a machine that needs to run a display, but the display is further away. Right, we utilize some of that stuff at work to, you know, where the display is in one room and the machine providing the video is further away, right? And you've got to worry about some of those cable lengths and, you know, requirements and meeting specifications. So I could see this type of chip, you know, being useful in those types of cases. But in a gaming card, yeah, it's kind of odd that it's there.
Yeah, they just put it on there. So pretty cool to see, though. I always like seeing just, you know, things that we haven't seen before, and always like getting a look at that the white PCB. So that's pretty cool. NZXT came out with a new case. It's called their H6 Flow. And if you look at this image that I have right here, it looks very much like every other case. It looks like the Li & Li O11 Dynamic sort of showing off the inside of the case, right? But if you look at this image...
Somebody just mirrored the height Y...
Yeah, it looks like a height Y60 backwards where they put in. This is actually great. I like this.
Yeah.
But it's legit the height Y60 opposite.
Kind of, yeah.
With instead of a glass panel here, it's fans, which actually this is really great for airflow because all of these cases that have all this glass, you have hardly any airflow. You get it from this, you would get it from the side.
But right, and then it's just blowing against the angle helps out.
Yeah, the angle definitely helps out. And again, a lot of these cases too, like a lot of people put them up at, you know, their desk is up against the wall, and they, you know, you're not, that side mount's not getting a whole lot of air. This gives it more air. I like it, but you can't say that it's not.
I mean, yeah, it's
yeah. Yeah. So that's what it looks like, but I do like it. White and black available. And the white does come with white fans, which is pretty cool.
I like how those fans are like integrated into that bottom section too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't have fans sitting on top of there. Yeah. It's a nice clean look.
Yeah. Very, very clean looking case. You know, I like it. And I do like these like dual compartment cases too, because again, this main compartment right here is just to show off everything. You have all your cables and everything else hidden behind. I like clean case, not a lot of cables. It gives you that really clean look. So you can have something that looks like,
and they did put the ventilation there for like your power supply. And if you got some larger drives back there, you've got some ventilation for that, which is nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So the flow with no RGB fans is 109. The RGB version is $134.99.
So I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, not bad prices on these cases either. So maybe we'll get one to review, see what it's about. But yeah, cool. New case. I like new cases. Here's something pretty funny. So the Steam Deck, it's if you want to put a ton of storage on a Steam Deck, I mean, naturally, you'd install a 61 terabyte enterprise SSD on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what you'd want to do, right?
It's a logical next step.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing to do. So the guys over at Storage Review decided to do this to, you know, make this work. And what they did is they got an M.2 to... Is this a SAS connector? What was it? M.2...
Well, it's M.2 to whatever... Or it's not... Never mind.
M.2 to U2 connector.
U2, I was going to say, it's probably a U2 drive.
Yeah, U.2 connector. They put the drive in this external drive bay, and they connected it. And lo and behold, the Steam Deck did...
Oh my gosh.
You know, it did detect the drive, and...
That's awesome.
You could put, you know... A lot
all of Steam on there.
Yeah.
You can put your whole Steam library on there.
If somebody has, I don't know what the total number of like Steam game, it's definitely over 55 terabytes. But if somebody has more than 50 terabytes of Steam games, you have issues, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that's sure. A lot.
Or it's like you have, they have like Truck Simulator or whatever, and they've got every DLC for it that's just like taking up space. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
obviously it takes some external power for that drive.
Yeah, this picture is a little misleading because it's just the drive just sitting there. But this is what the actual thing would look like. You'd need the cable connected. You'd have to have the back of the... I guess you could kind of mod this.
You can figure it out.
Yeah, but pretty cool. I love modding devices and just doing cool things that are just like out of the ordinary. This is something that's cool. Nobody needs to do, but they did it anyways, just to prove that it could be done, and pretty cool. So I like that. So shout out to Storage Review for that. Pretty cool there for
good
sure.
Lord, old man. He says I have 1,203 Steam games.
That's a lot. I probably have 50, maybe probably less than that. I don't know. Talking about gaming, SteelSeries did unveil their Ghost Edition of their Apex Pro Mini. So we reviewed the Ghost Edition of the Apex Pro, which is the larger keyboard. So it's really cool to see it come down into the mini size. One, it's a much smaller keyboard, which I'm a fan of. It has the pudding style keycaps, which are white. I still have the larger keyboard, and it was one of my favorite keyboards. One of the few non like kind of custom keyboards that I like kept on my desk for a while because it looks so good. So you have, you have a white version of it if you want to pick it up. It is a really small keyboard. But yeah, cool to see that. I don't know that price on that. $229.99. Oh, there's only 250 of these being made.
Oh, wow.
Definitely special edition. So yeah.
Mm.
There's 250, it's $229.99.
Seems like a odd choice for the quantity that they're making. Why limit it?
Yeah. The Ghost Edition was limited when we reviewed it. I don't know how limited, but yeah, this is pretty limited launch. But they got to do something to get, also, Noctua announced Chromax Black versions of two of their coolers. If you're not familiar, everybody knows the Noctua. What would you call the Noctua color?
So I was going to say tan and brown, but it's kind of like a light brown and brown. I don't know. It's like tan and reddish brown.
Okay.
Usually.
And some people aren't fans of the Noctua color. Let's just say that. And a few years ago, they announced their Chromax Black, which is all blacked out. Fans black, the heat sink's black, the heat pipes are black, everything's black. And they did that for a couple of their more high-end coolers, the NHD15, some of the other ones. But now they've brought that to their NHD9L and their NHL9X65. So the D9L is a little bit, but these are smaller coolers. But if you did want the all-black look, you have that on the NHD9L. And then the small form factor case. I love this cooler. This is the NHL9, awesome. Which is a decently high-performing cooler for how small it is. But this is great for small form factor builds. So, again, if you didn't want the, this Noctua color, you wanted all-black, you have that there as well. Protex says, I love the Noctua brown. It's like wood grain in nice cars. Yeah, I mean, I actually like it. There's people that I feel like for Noctua, there's two camps. There's people who absolutely love the color, and then there's people that absolutely hate it. There's like no in between.
I mean, I've moved camps. Like when I first got into, PCs, early 2000s, it was like I hated it. I thought it was the ugliest thing in the world. Like, it doesn't bother me now. Obviously, I personally like their Chromax stuff that's in black, and I'll take that any day. But yeah, it doesn't bother me like it used to.
Okay, so you're converted.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. But yeah, those are the two coolers that are now available in Chromax Black if you wanted to pick those up. And now we're going to get to something that I didn't necessarily expect to see, just because
it's exciting though.
Yeah, we saw that. Remember that massive leak over the summer?
No, that was like over a year ago.
Okay, so like a year ago, we saw the massive leak with like videos of GTA 6 and all this stuff, and we saw rumors of 2024. We saw rumors of 2026. Like GTA 6 is, I would probably say, because it goes through console and everything, because again, GTA 5 is not just a PC game. It's incredibly popular on both platforms. I would say it's probably the most anticipated game that will be coming out in the next decade. Probably.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And the crazy thing is like how old GTA 5 is. Like it came out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like a good thing about the ROI on that for them, right?
It's still popular. I mean, people still playing it.
So we've seen leaks over this past year, and I was, thinking that we'll probably see it closer to 2026. It's just, that's what I thought. But it looks like Rockstar is going to announce GTA 6 this week. Like later this week, like maybe tomorrow. And then a trailer is going to be released in early December.
I wish the trailer was just announce it and give us a trailer. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Which is kind of an interesting timing because like, okay, so they're going to announce it this week. Maybe we get the trailer in early December. When's the game coming out? Because typically you'd want a game to come out right now. For holiday,
sure,
when people are off and they're
gonna maybe it'll be ready for next holiday season.
That's what I'm thinking. Do you think they're gonna tease it now and then we won't get the game till a year from now.
Yeah. Well, it's not like it's pairing up with new console releases, right? To be like a badass game on a brand new console, like launch title would be awesome, but I don't think it's going to be that. So yeah, it's
what if early December, right? Early December.
And they're just like,
they'll be like, we have a Christmas present for you, and it comes out on Christmas. I'd be hyped.
They would break the internet. I'd be like, boss, I'm sick.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm buying it day one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That would be incredibly cool. I don't think that's going to happen. But it would be like, this game release has to be like massive for them. And Protech in the chat, he said it will never live up to the hype. It's been too long of a wait. I don't think it's not even that. It's that the GTA 5 was like such a good game, and how, you know, online communities have been built around the game, the RP servers, like everything about GTA 5. How do you top that? Even like, I played GTA 5, like the story was good. Like just playing the story mode was great.
Yeah.
And all of the cool graphics, all the Easter eggs, like everything in that game. How do you top that? How do you make that game? And like, you know, when GTA 5 came out, like online gaming wasn't as popular. Like, is the focus of GTA 6 going to be more online, or are you still going to give us that really good story? Like, there's so many questions.
It's going to be both. It's got to.
But I'm hyped. I'm really hoping that they announce it this week. Beginning of December, we get the trailer. And then
we'll have to like bring you're gonna have to bring your PC to CES like normal, but then we're not gonna get anything done because we'll just be wanting to play.
No, we have that whole week before.
I gotta work.
Yeah. I mean, so do I, but it'll be pretty interesting. Do you think it will be cool. next gen console?
I would say it will be like top tier current consoles.
Yeah, so like
PS5
and Xbox Series X.
Series X.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever it's called, yeah.
And again, that's only the case if is there going to be a next consoles coming out anytime soon? Because I don't think
Did GTA 5 really come out on PS3?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe I do have it on PS3 or X. I know I have it on a console.
Okay.
Maybe I do have it on PS3. Wow.
Yeah. It's
holy cow.
Yeah. If you think about it, like this, it is going to be the biggest game. Like we talk about other games, and you know, Cyberpunk was like, and Starfield was like, but Starfield's mainly PC, you know, was like highly anticipated, but nothing like this. I really don't think there's a game that's going to have this much hype around its launch. Like, can you think of any other game that's launched in the past decade that's had this much hype?
I would, the one that would come close is, well, like Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Had a lot of hype. Probably not this big. Man.
I just think it has so much hype because, again, it's super popular on both console and PC. Right. And it's this game that's still like, you can go play GTA. Like, this game came out how long ago? You can go in and play
2013.
It. Yeah. You can go in right now and play it and have fun. You can also go online and play it and have fun. That's like not normal.
No.
You know what I mean? When it comes to games. So,
I just can't believe it played on. I probably have it on PS3. And I have the OG PS3 that came out in 2006.
Okay.
Like,
That's another interesting thing.
The fact that that game will play on that system, and it's just the current version of the game. Yeah. Like, wow.
So GTA 6 will probably be a year later before it comes to PC. Do you think that will be the case now too?
I hope it's not as long as a delay, because that was felt like forever. And that's the only reason I bought it for console, is because it was like gonna be forever.
Well, I'm gonna have to buy a console. I don't want to.
I have it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I have it on, because I have GTA 4 on console.
Okay.
GTA 5, and then I've got it on PC as well.
Yeah. Be interesting. Well, I guess we'll see. Like I said, this it's supposed to happen this week. Check our socials. We'll post it. I'm sure you guys will see it. I'm sure everybody in the world's going to see it. This announcement. So I will obviously post about it and talk about it. Definitely, if it is announced this week, we'll be talking about it next week in the podcast. So definitely stay tuned for that. So I'm excited. I mean, I don't often get excited for games, but I'm excited for that. So, we'll keep you guys updated on that. But that is it for news this week. Coming next week, I didn't get this review done because I messed some stuff up and I had to reinstall Windows because I'm an idiot. So, I'm taking a look at the ASRock Z790PG ITX TV4 motherboard. We talked about it last week. Mini ITX Z790 board. So excited to tell you guys all about that. Sweet. Ryan is taking a look at a pretty cool like mixer or audio interface from, is that how you say their name? Fifine?
Fifine. Yeah, you're not sure.
Fifine. Yes. So you've wanted one of these for a while. Let's be honest here.
Well, something similar. Yes. Like for a long time, I was looking at the, what was that? It was XLR. Like everybody had it. Yeah, the GoXLR.
GoXLR. We all, I wanted that. I almost
everybody
bought the
big wanted one. The GoXLR. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost bought the $600 one, but I didn't.
Yeah. So, you know, this was like a couple years ago when we were just getting really into the streaming type stuff.
Yeah.
I want one. So, yes, I've been looking to get one. I also wanted one because I wanted an alternate like filming station and audio station and not have to like utilize all my stuff. So, the ability to use some of the microphones that I have. And this, you know, just allows you some extra control at your fingertips there. Pretty affordable, as you can see there, for $50. It has some neat features to it.
Nice. And this has, it's for XLR.
Correct. You can also use a standard 3.5 millimeter jack as well.
Cool. Very cool.
If you got a headset or something you want to use it with.
Well, excited to hear about that next week. And then I'm also taking a look at some new memory from Patriot. I'll be taking a look at their Viper Elite 5. This is RGB memory, DDR5, super high speeds. You can get this all the way up to 7,000 megahertz. So super, super fast. I have the kit I have is only 6,000, but you can get it up to 7,000. We're going to try to overclock it to 7,000. So we'll see if we can get up that high. Cool. But I'll have that for you next week as well. As we come to the end, if you guys aren't familiar, we do a question of the week, and we've been doing this at least for the past handful of weeks. Some really good questions. I'm coming up with the questions. I think over time, so we need to like put a form on the website or something to get some different questions. But this week, the question is to you, Ryan, and obviously to me, is there one piece of tech that you had that you sold or you got rid of that now you wish you had as like a collector's item? I know you have a lot of, you can see behind you, you collect a lot of things. Yeah. But is there something that you got rid of?
No, because I still have all of it.
That's the thing. I do have a lot.
Not really. Like there's some, no, because I have like cool cases that I also thought were not like.
A lot of stuff. Yeah,
I do. I mean, I have the Inwin 925 that's like probably my favorite case ever that is my current case. But the case I used before it was the Inwin 915. And I still have it because it's an awesome case. And I'm just like, maybe someday I'll do a build in it. Will I realistically? No, probably not. But I'm trying to think of like a cool piece of hardware or tech that I still have like we've talked about it before, my OG Logitech G15 keyboard, right? I've still got that. I don't know. No, nothing I can think of. What about you?
There's actually a handful because I've got like when I moved, especially when I moved across the country,
I got rid of a lot of stuff.
Yep. But I mean, like my original iPhone, I had a Game Gear, which I loved. That would have been
batteries like crazy.
Yeah, but like that, or even my PSP, like even just like power on the PSP and play some games. Like that was such a cool little thing to have that I got rid of over time. I also had an Alienware full-fledged PC.
Oh, with the black eyes on it.
Yeah. And it was a review you know, but they let us keep it. And it was like dual graphics cards. It was like dual 580s or something. I don't remember. But it was a beast of a system. It'd just be cool to have, you know?
Like I have all my consoles from growing up. Like I have all of our original consoles. So I have all of those that I didn't get rid of. So
yeah, and I had this, I had the original Cooler Master Cosmos case that was custom painted. And then somebody offered me way too much money for it and I sold it. But that was something that Cooler Master had sent us. And it was, yeah, there was not that many of them made. It was like special.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was like custom paint job. It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still have, it's behind me. There's like that shelf that you can see. I have like my Sapphire Toxic card back there.
I loved, and it was like the motherboard of choice back in the day when Enforce chipset was still a thing. It was the EVGA 680i.
Okay, everybody
like SLI motherboard. Yeah. It was like the most common board.
Or my DFI LAN party board. That would be cool to still have.
Yep.
Especially like things that you had, like these companies like no longer exist. Like if you had like an 8-bit board, or like I said, the DFI board or something Chain like tech that. Or something.
Yeah.
You know, ProTech in the chat said his GameCube, the Pokemon edition. There's some like really cool game related things that have come out that like were really cool, like launch things or like the Halo Xbox things like that.
My Xbox One is the Fortnite edition.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The purple controller.
There's a lot of things you don't realize. You know, you're just trying to get rid of stuff or you sell stuff, and you're like,
I wish I just keep it. You just keep it, Bob.
I don't have room like you, man. You got all this room for all your stuff. So yeah. Nelson in the chat said, old Dell computer in Voodoo card. Oh, the Voodoo card. He was running two of them. That's really cool. My friend had an old Voodoo 555 or 5000. The one that plugged into the wall. He had one of those. Jeez. And I tried to buy it off him a while back and he didn't want to sell it to me. So, an old man said he had almost all of the consoles from Atari 2600 PS3, traded each one in as the newer system released. You still have PS3 and 360. That's the thing. Like, especially when you're younger, like, yeah, you don't have a ton of money and you're like, I want to get the new one. I'll trade in my old one. And then, you know, we get old like we are now. And then we realize like, oh man, I wish I had like, you know, that
I'll just buy it back. And then you see the price on the stuff and you're like, holy,
there's some really cool places where you can buy old consoles and stuff for like decent prices too. Nelson said go to your local pawn shop. That's not a bad idea to pick up some consoles and stuff. Pretty cool. At the end of the podcast we also talk about anything cool tech related that we did or that we saw. Did you do anything cool tech related besides build your server?
I had that thing up and going for a couple weeks now. I don't think so. No. I mean, I've been putting like new, like migrating servers over to it.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So I'm like trying out some new things on there. I think I right now have 4 virtual machines running in there at the moment. So just retiring old stuff and trying out new stuff.
Well, I got a new camera.
Yes, you did that.
Yeah,
and you show me a video. You made a video of it.
DJI Osmo Pocket 3. It's pretty cool. I haven't had a ton of time to play with it, but I've never had one of these pocket cameras, and I mean this thing is like small. I mean it's.
But it's, I mean, the stuff you showed me that, you know, like the follow me function you were making in the video, and it was just like, it worked pretty damn well.
I mean, this wasn't necessarily cheap. It was like $700 bucks with, got the kit and everything.
But you do so much of that stuff. So,
well, that's the thing. It's like, beyond computers, I would say like cameras are like my other hobby. And we're going to plan to use this at CES, and I'm going to plan to use it, you know, around here shooting different content and things. So
now does it support like those the Hollyland mics? Can you plug the Hollyland mics into that?
Yeah, because it has a type C on the bottom.
Type C.
So okay, you can plug anything into any type C or if you have,
I just didn't know if it had to like use the DJI ones or something.
The DJI ones will work out of the box, right? But if you have any mic kit that's type C, or if you just get the type C to 3.5 millimeter,
yeah,
those will work too. Yeah. I've seen people, like, I've been watching so much content on this thing because, like, people have been making content. I would say this is probably the most hyped camera to come out, like, this year.
That's funny.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. I really enjoying it. I might make a video on my personal YouTube channel about it, maybe. But yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool little thing. And like I said, we'll probably use it at CES. So, you know, stay tuned for all of that. Old man said, talking about stuff we wish we still had, limited edition Zelda games that came with the Zelda Wind Waker pre-order on GameCube. Oh, do you remember the original Zelda on Nintendo was like gold? Yeah. Missed that. No, it always was so cool. That was one of the coolest things. Okay. Yeah, of course you do. And then old man said he bought another Thermaltake Core X71 case, $60 discount with his credit card. That's really cool. I feel like old man gets all the good deals. He's always getting really good deals. But we're going to jump from here over to Twitch. If you guys don't know, we do a gaming stream every Wednesday as well. Ryan runs that stream, and that is going to be on Twitch. Twitch.tv. Oh, there it is. Like twitch.tv /ThinkComputers. We will be over there, and Ryan will have that stream up. We're playing some games, so definitely be some fun. Looking forward to that. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. We had a bunch of people in the chat. Yeah. Protect, Old Man, Nelson, Corey was here. We had a bunch of people in the chat. So thanks, everybody, for coming out for the live chat. And, of course, everybody that listens later. And we'll see you guys next week.